No.
Yes, sir, Mr. President.
Yes, sir. Well, that was a good boat in the house.
Yes, that sure was. That,
and particularly, that was a tougher boat than the others because the way that Les nailed it down, it's flat out, wasn't it?
Well, he used some parliamentary maneuvering to...
Yeah. But I meant that made them vote up or down on which they said they would not accept the Senate amendment.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that right?
Yes, sir. So the conferees now go instructed not to accept a Senate amendment that's not germane.
Well, we're glad to win it. It's close. They'll the press will play it. It's the closest vote yet and all that bullshit.
Well, but it's one of
we're winning it.
It's one in a series, Mr. President, and you know we haven't lost one that counted in a hell of a long time.
No.
And
you know, I went over, I did both the leaders, and I went over and did the Democrats, too, this morning, too. So I whopped them both. We had 40, 50 Democrats down.
Well, it was a good thing to do, and it, I think it's part of a psychology, you know, that people don't focus so much on the specifics as they do on just a general attitude that is damned important. And I think that was a big one, and I was worried about that, you know, that... was one that looked like it could cause us some trouble, but I think we're out of the woods on the Mansfield amendments from now on.
Right.
We did get some testimony stirred up today in the Irvin committee, which hopefully will get. They'll have to cover tonight on the networks. I hope raise the Efren book and raise the little ruckus over the networks. Springer did a damn good job.
Good. Yeah.
So that'll help us a bit. Mansfield announced, as you may have heard, that he wants everybody now to start buckling down to work for the end of the session, and has pretty much limited the agenda of what the Senate will deal with. He's written off welfare reform, all of them, and just said he's going to concentrate on the tax legislation, the Phase 2 legislation, and allow ample time for discussion of the nominees to the Supreme Court.
Incidentally, I talked to Rumsfeld. He had been in touch with the Gallup people, and
did he have anything?
He didn't have a number. I don't know why they're holding back on him, but he just said that Gallup said it was up substantially, or something in the words to that effect. Based on the first 2/3, but that was all.
But
he wants that kept extremely. Apparently, Gallup is terribly sensitive about anything leaking on his, and something may have leaked here at one point. So that's the reason why I think he wants to keep it. And I don't blame him a bit.
No, I think it's just as well. As a matter of fact, you have to.
We don't want to know.
Have to play it very carefully. I think it's bound to follow the same pattern.
Yeah. But it must be up somewhere, or he wouldn't say so, because he said that he called Rumsfeld to say, well, it is up.
That was today that you talked to Rumsfeld.
Right, Rumsfeld, at noon.
Well, I talked to him last evening, I guess, and he said they had about 2/3 tabulated, and it looked pretty good at that point. But
this was better today. I don't know. Well, maybe it was. Maybe it had been the same conversation. I don't think so. I think it was a different one.
Well, you add them all up, and it's showing a comparable trend. As I told you yesterday,
Sinlinger
has it at the highest you've ever been since you were nominated. He said your high point was right after the nomination. On the way he questions, of course, he uses it. Totally different technique, but they're all following exactly the same pattern. I think there's a hell of a lot of strength out there, plus an attitude building on the other side that the nomination isn't worth much.
The Gallup figures were taken before the summit.
I guess I think they straddled it.
Before finished on the 11th.
I see.
So I don't know the effect that had anyway. May have not have had too much.
I had gotten, last week was a hell of a week, Mr. President.
It was quite a week, I
see. Jesus.
You had the summit, and you also had the...
the textile agreement.
Textile. And
played very strong.
Yeah.
And last week...
And also I made announcements at the press conference. Had a good reception in North Carolina.
North Carolina. Superb reception. That's been... getting a lot of follow-up. Well, I talked with Fred Rhodes today, who's...
Fred Rhodes?
He's the Deputy Veterans Administrator, but he's also about to be president of the Southern Baptist Conference. He's quite an effective little guy.
Yeah.
He said all of his people have been calling him after the Friday performance. He said he'd had several calls from leaders. These are Southern Baptist leaders who said, well, they've always been for Nixon, but now they were just... they thought the country... couldn't survive without it. He said it just turned them all into evangelists. Apparently, it was very well received.
That's good.
He said, he said a half a dozen unsolicited reports, and he made some calls that I asked him to make. But Right. He got a universally very, very strong reaction.
You know, I talked to George Shultz a little on the... Well, we were on budget, but mainly on... He, of course, is a monetarist, pretty much, on and thinks that that's the reason maybe our figures aren't as good the third quarter as they ought to be. But I'll tell you a funny thing. I am not just pessimistic about this economy somewhere. God damn it. You know, whether it's housing or cars or anything else, we just hear too many evidences of people feeling better than the rest. And so I think, frankly, the people we talk to, the market and all that sort of thing, those people reflect that. But I think out in this country that there's going to be something. I mean, now Harris's view that we're going to have a hell of a Christmas, he may be right.
Well, he's because he measures consumer sentiment, and he said that's picking up dramatically, and that the wholesale price index figure was a good shot in the arm. A couple more of those.
We're going to get one with a consumer price index. That's this week.
I think it's this Friday, Mr. President.
Sure.
Usually
comes out Friday.
Let's see. I have the schedule. There's three this Friday. There's the GNP for the third quarter, which
that'll be bad.
Well, but it was predicted that it would be off from the second quarter. So I think that's been pretty heavily discounted, really.
Also, that doesn't reflect the new policy particularly.
No, nope, it doesn't.
It's only 1 month and a half of it.
Then the BLS CPI, right. That's on Friday. And then a durable goods purchases that comes out. Then we have personal income this Thursday, so there's quite a bit of it this week.
Well, I don't know. I don't know what the hell else we can do to get things going. It's just, it is going, though, I feel. I just think it's a hell of a lot better than, I think it's just the psychology, don't you? I mean.
Oh, completely. I talked to Jim Cleary, who's the, I guess he's now the chief executive of Eastman Dillon. Called him this afternoon. I've always found him to be good, and he's very political. And I said, what the hell's causing the market to go down today? And he said, well, he said, it's just it's a combination of things. He said, it's nothing to worry about. He said, everybody figures next year is going to be one of the biggest bull years we've had. He said, Eastman Dillon is telling its clients to stay liquid, that in 2 to 4 weeks from this past weekend, we look for the beginning of a major, very strong upsurge. And he said, what you're seeing now is partially technical and partially, there is a worry over tight money. There's an expectation that the banks should drop the discount rate, but may not if money doesn't loosen. And he said everybody still looks at that 8% savings figure as the one that is like a when you open the floodgates and that pours out, this country's in for a hell of an expansion.
All right.
And so he said don't worry about these day-to-day declines over the last few weeks. And as a matter of fact, it did bounce back today. It was down.
Didn't go down 8.
No, when I talked to you, it was down 8.25, and it's back now. It ended, closed the day down 4 on light volume, so it doesn't.
It doesn't mean a hell of a lot.
Doesn't mean
it's at 870 or something like that. Or
let's see, that puts it at 868.4.
68. That doesn't
bother me. But Query's attitude was that it's going back up, and he, by the way, is.
The market always does this, goes up and down.
Well, he said they're looking for a sustained bull market that will start early to mid November, and he figures it all through next year because their people are all telling them that next year will be a very expansionary year. Of course, if the direction is right, you eliminate the negative psychology. You don't really care.
I know
where the numbers end up. It's just if it's moving right.
That's right.
Starts moving right early enough in the years.
Mm-hmm.
Just too many fellows who have got it figured this way. You know, even Walter Heller, who was at the Business Council this weekend, talked about $100 billion. Growth next year, real growth of 6.5% after inflation.
Oh, boy.
Which would make it a heck of a year. And you get a fellow like Heller doing it whose political investment
on the other side.
Is the other way, and that's good stuff. That helps helps the psychology. I think it'll be there, Mr. President. And I still go back to the retail sale figures. I consider those
they are good. I mean, every time I read McCracken's analysis, he's so cautious about it. He says, well, it's mostly automobiles, and that's not very healthy. Well, But with, God damn it, automobiles count. When automobiles bills are down, they say, well, that's bad. So they're good.
Well, Paul is excessively cautious. You know,
he really is.
I talked to him this morning about the housing starts and trying to understand it, because every month they've reported it year over year. This month they reported it month over month, and it made it down. But year over year, it's fantastic. And then when you finally sift through all of Paul's explanation, he concludes, well, yes, it's very good. It takes you a little while to get that far.
Well, $1.9 million is a hell of a lot of houses.
Oh, well, if this is $2 million a year, that's just, we'll still be feeling all the fallout from that through the next several months. That's a tremendous output of housing.
The market, too, all this bullshit about their phase two being so uncertain and the rest. Of course it's uncertain. It's got to be, or you have to have absolute dictatorship, and they don't want that. And we've got to keep, but at least the rate of inflation is going to be mitigated.
That's
due to the fact that labor, at least, is taking some responsibility. So rather than having a 15% increase, you'll have maybe 8.
Well, that's...
Or maybe 6, or maybe 7. That's a hell of a lot better.
That's beginning to sink into these fellows. And that has an effect on the price of, or the cost of money. The cost of money.
You know, it's very significant that that Meany said what he did, you know. That, what did he say, the big man?
He said
that shows you he appreciated that call, didn't it?
Oh, very much. And by the way, just to give you an indication of the impact that had, Mr. President, Lovestone called me the day after that call, said he wanted to see me, and we met Friday for lunch and talked. He gave me a lot of inside intelligence. I gave him on Friday a copy of a speech that Ted Kennedy gave up at Harvard Law School at the end of September, which was the goddamnedest speech I think I have ever read in my life. And Lovestone called me today, and he said, by the way, he said, I've given it to Jackson, and Jackson's going to use it. He said, Meany has read it and is incensed over it, and he said he's authorized me to deliver it, a copy of it, to every member of the Executive Council. And he said, in addition to that, I'm going to give it to some of my columnist friends, and I'm sending it abroad.
What is it, just an attack on us?
No, it's a, well, yes, it is, but it's an extraordinary speech. He really says, he's talking to young people, and he says, you're missing the boat. You're quiet like you were in the 50s. And you're throwing away your opportunity, and in effect telling them to go back into the streets and riot.
The trouble is that, you know, we say, well, Kennedy's doing everything wrong, like the crawling statement and the rest, and yet he continues to go up in the polls, Chuck.
Yeah, but that's in a vacuum, Mr. President. I think it's a result, when I say a vacuum, it's a result of the other people declining.
Kennedy's making news.
While Kennedy's making news, and while he's attacking, what he is doing is rallying.
I'm sure, incidentally, I couldn't agree more with you, though, that the Harris poll on Muskie is going to... Well, in fact, the Gallup poll didn't help him a damn bit. It showed Kennedy running better than he did.
That's right. But Harris has always had Muskie up.
I know.
And therefore, the politicians who watch this, when they see that Harris has him down, as well as Gallup, I think Insulinger has him down. When they start adding up all the polls and see that he's slipping, you'll see some of the political columnists talking about the decline of Muskie. Once they start talking about
it, and they talk about that, and then they'll start going to Teddy.
That's right, and it feeds on itself. Oh, no question, Teddy is... I think he's making his move. I think he's making it overtly in a number of areas. This, but when you say he's up in the polls, I don't think he's gained so much as the others have lost, and he's bound to pick up a little bit as people, as other candidates are unable to generate support. If Muskie declines, Kennedy's going to gain a little bit.
But I wonder if we are adequately attacking him.
Kennedy?
Yeah.
Well, we have a lot of things, Mr. President, that at the right point we can start using, and of course I may have a...
Because he's a bad one. He is. I mean, he'd be such a disaster for the country.
Oh.
I mean, you can talk about Muskie and Hubert and the rest, and they're well-intentioned idiots, but, I mean, you know, but they're going to do a hell of a lot of harm. But Teddy, Jesus Christ, that kind of a talk to Harvard, that sounds just like him, though.
Well, what he said, it's an incredible thing. He said, can this be the same generation that brought down one president and but for fate might have elected its own candidate in 1968?
He meant Bobby by that.
Sure. And then he goes on saying, in effect, you're sitting back on your duffs and you're not doing things, and you have the capacity to go out into the streets and punish those who are now in power. Just that simple. Richard Nixon lives in a Skinner box. He responds only to rewards and punishments that his senses can appreciate. And there's no justification for you sitting back. He said that the only way in which we get results is if there is some spectacular event or some national tragedy or some drastic confrontation. Only that will lead to progress. Jesus Christ.
Horrible revolution.
Well, it's a revolutionary speech. Jay Lowson said it's a call for revolution. But
as will Jackson take him on, you think, or not?
Well, Jay says that he's recommended. Well, Jay's kind of led Jackson around a lot of his stuff so far, and he plans to on this one. I'm not so sure. It's true that when you put that Gallup poll in perspective with all the youth vote in it, that Kennedy does well, and he does well with the blacks. But they don't turn out to vote. The blacks don't. I don't think the young are going to in the numbers that people say they are.
Particularly with the war gone.
That's right. And as Gallup pointed out in that Newsweek survey, or Scammon pointed out, I don't know whether you read that, but Scammon had a fascinating analysis of the Gallup survey. And as Scammon said, while Kennedy does very well with the youth, he turns off the over 50 generation completely. And this kind of speech and the crawling statement and Chappaquiddick, which is very, very much alive.
Much old comeback. Yeah.
Oh, sure. Is just going to come back to be devastating to him. Your press secretary pulled a cutie today. He took that Mike Royko column from the Chicago Daily News, and when all the press were out of the press gallery, he hung it up at there. Richard Grossi. And he said it was just hysterical this afternoon. The press were all talking about it, wanting to know who hung it up. And every one of them, several of them taking it down, making copies of it. That kind of thing catches on. If he rises in the polls, it will be glamour. But he'll start to feel the pressures because, as Harris points out, he's too strident. He just divides people. And people have very violent attitudes about Ted. They don't...
He's too much Bobby.
Yes, and he's got too many liabilities even that Bobby didn't have.
That's right.
He's got things to overcome that even Bobby didn't have to overcome, which I just think will hurt the hell out of him. Of course, I may be biased. I still...
That'll be quite a week, quite a day, I mean, quite a year. We'll see what happens.
We'll keep it going. The Kiplinger letter was just out with a statement that was fascinating about the fact that what tremendous strength you had gained, and not to count on the next year being the close election that it was thought to be. There's just an awful lot of this, Mr. President, that's setting in. If we can just keep...
Kiplinger speaking politically, huh?
Politically,
what is his theme? Do you have it there?
I don't have it in front of me.
I see.
It was basically that you're moving ahead so fast and the issues are gone, and it'd be very difficult to beat you next year for anybody to. But there's just a lot of this building. I just mentioned that as an example.
Yeah.
And it's a good time to keep that fire going.
Right.
We'll do it, sir.
Okay.
Thank you.